Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, your Father will reward you. Prayer with fasting is clearly practiced in the New Testament. And I want you to see this. Who's in control of the air conditioners? This air conditioner behind me is blowing cold air on my neck. And so I need that to stop. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Which air conditioner is this? Where's Ron and Stephanie? You got it? Okay. He's got a remote thing. And Matthew 6:3 says, but when you give to the needy, this is Jesus, he says, then your Father will reward you. Do you believe that God rewards generous people? Amen. The Bible says so. And then Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, your Father will reward you. Do you believe that prayer does any good? Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, what is a reward? I think many times you're rewarded with an answer to your prayers, like healing and deliverance and financial blessing. You're rewarded with the answer. That's one reward. But when you pray, your Father will reward you. In Matthew 6:17, but when you fast, verse 18, your Father will reward you. Jesus said, when you give and when you pray and when you fast, your Father will reward you right out of heaven. When you give and when you pray and when you fast. Why do we have such a hard time with that fast thing? It's because we've been brainwashed. You have to eat nonstop to feel good. And exactly the opposite's true. Overeating is obviously one of the main problems in America today. When means when. The modern church leaves one out, that would be fasting. The early church did not leave it out. And if you'll study all the great pastors and leaders, evangelists operating the miracle power of God, almost every one of them did fasting. Smith Wigglesworth, nearly everybody that knows anything about the power of God quotes him, and he believed in fasting. I don't believe you can have what these great men and women of God had in the Bible and since, unless you do what they did. God didn't have a select few special people. It's those who obey him and do him the word. Luke 5:33, they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray. Let me show you a good reason to fast and pray. John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Notice that the Jews, including John's disciples, practiced prayer with fasting, but Jesus' disciples did not fast. And when they could not cast a demon out of that little boy, they asked Jesus why. He said, because the littleness of your faith, because this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And I know a lot of translations leave the word fasting out of that passage, but it's got prayer there. But they lived a lifestyle of fasting so that when they prayed, they'd already done the fasting. That's why I live a lifestyle of fasting. Fast every Monday and once a month, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Because when you need prayer, I want to be able to pray and believe God for miracles without having to stop and fast. I've already done the fast. Amen. And notice that's what John's disciples did, and that's what the Pharisees did. Verse 34, Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom, talking about himself, will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. Does anyone here know what will means? He says, when I'm gone, my disciples will fast. I got news for you. Every believer is a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are his disciples. And we had the first apostles, but you know why they had the power of God? It's because they obeyed God in praying and fasting and believed God for them. Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do, and greater works than these, is the believer. But when the apostles died, all the power died with him. That is totally wrong. Anyone who has any understanding of the Bible at all should know that, because it's the believer that God uses. Not apostles and preachers and deacons or whatever. God uses believers. If apostles and, and deacons and pastors, preachers, if they are believers in the Word of God and truly practice the Word of God, yes, they'll have miracles, but it's the believing part. He that believeth on me, the believers. What does will fast mean? It means he expects us to do some fasting. The disciples had a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord while he was on earth. This is what I want you to get. The only way his servants can continue in this kind of relationship is by prayer and fasting, a prayer with fasting. I like to say prayer with fasting. It's not about fasting. It's about praying with fasting and meditating on God's Word. The only way today I believe that we can really have that really intimate touch is through fasting and praying and meditating on the Word. That's why you begin to sense such a mighty presence of God in this room. It's because the Holy Spirit is responding to us being obedient to giving, praying, and fasting. When I'm on a long fast, my spirit man opens up to the Lord, and he is super real. And it's already beginning to happen. This is day, what, 7 of the fast? Well, I hadn't been counting them up, but started on Monday. And I began to feel super good. Yay. A lot better than it was when I was eating. I know people think I'm crazy, and I might be, but I still feel better. Okay. Don't ask a crazy person if they're crazy, because they'll tell you no. All who participates in a sacred assembly, that's what this is, that's what the Bible calls it, calling a fast for everyone to participate in it. All who participate in a sacred assembly can experience the benefits of the intimate relationship, even those who are not doing a full fast. I'm not encouraging you not to do a full fast. If you're healthy, I'm double dog daring, as you used to say on the farm, double dog dare you to fast food. When I first started praying and fasting, I had a greater sense of the presence and the power of God. Miracle things begin to happen. I just begin to believe automatically for things I've never been able to believe God for. And Dottie had these severe allergies. She went to the doctor, and he said, "You have the worst case of allergies I've ever seen." She was allergic to everything. And finally, he wound up having her to give herself a shot, I think it's once every 2 weeks. The only way that they could control those allergies. And we'd been married 7 years, and very often she'd keep me awake half the night sniffing on a nasal decongestant. And so we're in Lexington. We went on a little trip down here to the Smoky Mountains in the old Mountain Lodge. Anybody remember that thing? They tore it down years ago. But we were there, and it was just a beautiful scene. And all of a sudden, I felt something say, "Pray for Dottie." I said, "Dottie, let me pray for you." And she, "Don't pray for those allergies." She said, "You've prayed 100 times. And I said, "This is different. I want to pray now." And I prayed for her, and God totally healed her. Hallelujah. Those allergies, all of them disappeared, and they haven't come back. And she hadn't had a shot since. Well, I don't believe in all this praying and fasting and meditating on the Bible. Well, you may want to change your mind. It works. And that's just one little sample. Thank you, Jesus. And today we can have that intimate, powerful relationship with the Lord if we'll fast and pray, meditate on the Word, build our faith, and believe God. Let me give you another real quick one. Okay. Bill Keith was a very popular DJ on the number one Christian radio station in that whole area. He became a good friend of mine because I had a radio broadcast out there, and I go out there. And he says, "I have hypoglycemia." And he says, "There's no cure for it." He said, "I've even had the best hands laid on me to have people to pray for me, and I still haven't been healed." I said, "Bill, I don't know why you haven't been healed, but I do believe it's God's will for you to be healed so you can keep doing this radio ministry. You're being a DJ and doing what you do. I believe God wants you to keep doing it. I believe he wants to heal you so you can be healthy and well." He said, "If I even eat a piece of pie," he said, "it puts me almost in a coma. I wind up in bed. If I eat just a little bit of ice cream, it just about destroys me. I have to go lay down." And I said, "I don't know why God hadn't healed you, but I believe he wants to." Amen. And this was a time when I was really beginning to learn to fast and pray, and that anointing was beginning to come on me really strong. So we had a healing service at church, and I invited him to come. And he was standing, I remember, and still see him standing there about 3-4 rows back on my right side. And I noticed he was just standing there talking to God himself. And I don't believe any of us laid hands on him that night. Maybe we did. Or that may have been a Sunday morning. But anyway, God, he was talking to God. He says, God, you know I've had the best hands laid on me for prayer. I've never been able to be healed. And he says, now I realize I've got to believe you for myself. So I'm believing you to heal me right now of hypoglycemia. Amen. He felt the power of God saturate him. God totally healed him. And he said to himself, he said, I'm going to check this out. He went home, got him a giant bowl, filled it with ice cream, and ate it. Believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. And nothing happened. So he got another bowl, filled it up, and ate it. And nothing happened. So he came back that night, and he was testifying all the place. God, heal me. This was a man close to 70 years old, been serving the Lord his whole life, had never been able to be healed until he really decided he was going to put his faith in the healer himself. He even, as we started the church, he even came here and shared his testimony at the Ramada Inn when we were over there. God's a healing God. But it says, be a doer of the word. Most Christians do not even know what that means. Okay, they think it means do not steal, do not kill, do not commit it. No, it's not about the don'ts. It's about the do's. When you give, and when you pray, and when you fast, and when you forsake not to assemble yourselves together, when you obey God and do his will, can you say amen? That is doing the word. I'm doing the word right now for myself because God has called me and ordained me and ordered me to preach, and so I'm doing what he told me to do. And when I do what he tells me to do and preach to you, then he heals me. Takes care of me. Luke 4:2, Jesus, this is about Jesus. Where for 40 days he was tempted of the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. Jesus went into the wilderness not to fast, but to be tempted of the devil. It says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So why did he fast? Because he knew he was operating as a man, and he knew he had to fast to be able to withstand the devil. Amen. Even Jesus was a doer of the word of God. You see, he ate nothing during those days. At the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus went in there to be tempted of the devil, but he faced the devil. Jesus chose to face the devil with prayer and fasting. We need to face the attack of the enemy by prayer with fasting. The devil's been trying to kill you for years. You need to figure out a way to do some fasting. And a real good excuse not to fast is, I'm a diabetic. Yeah. You can fast your favorite stuff. Can you say amen? Matthew 4, verse 11, when the devil left him, angels came and attended him. He was fasting and praying and quoting the word. You remember that? I preached on that just the other day. He says, it is written, three different major temptations. The devil tempted him the whole 40 days, it says, but it does say those last three were really major. He says, it is written, be gone. So fasting and praying, meditating on the word of God and speaking the word of God as a sword of the Spirit, that's the way you get it done. Yeah. Now, if Jesus did it that way, I think we're probably going to need to do it that way. Amen. Jesus defeated the devil through prayer with fasting, and it is written. He spoke to the devil, it is written. I mean, he was the Son of God. All he had to do was say, bug off, I'm the Son of God. But no, he had taken on human flesh, and he's operating as a man, so he's dealing with the devil to show us how to do it. Amen. And you speak to the devil. Can you say amen when you get a good anointing on you through praying and fasting and meditating on the word? Jesus needed to fast, so do we. And I don't know why. Older people get rosacea, and the face can swell out, blood vessels everywhere, And I got that. I really don't know why. Older people get that. Come on, life. Come on. You can do better. Come on, life. Got to teach you how to life. Anyway, my face was swelled out to here. I'm not kidding you. And my dermatologist got pictures of it. And the only way to get that to go down was a cortisone shot. And I had several. And I was fighting that thing, and I was praying. And so I was fasting and praying one year, and it was 2011. And after the fast, a lot of times the greatest miracles take place after the fast. And so Don and I went up to Shakertown and was spending a few days there, two or three days, I believe, two or three, four. And I was up in the middle of the night, and those old buildings up there were built in early 1800s. One I stay in was built in 1840. And so they still have these wood floors that they scrape. And so I was up in the middle of the night, my face burning like fire. And I'm splashing cold water in my face. Nothing to do. You can't. There's no cure for that. And we just came off a fast. And I'm praying in the middle of the night. Got my fasting done. Just need to do some praying. Went back to bed. And that morning, Dottie woke me up crying. And I had a sleep with my head covered up. And so I threw the covers back. I said, "What's wrong with you?" I thought she was having a heart attack or something. I mean, she was sobbing. And she couldn't even talk for a little while. She was crying so hard. And she said, "I saw an angel." Said it is an angel, kind of a petite angel with blonde hair, having a fatigue jacket with blonde hair, hair with sparrows going up like this, and said she had her hand over your face like that. My face was covered up, but it was about where my face was. And she said, I stared as long as I could, and then I blinked my eyes, and when I blinked my eyes, she was gone. We didn't tell that for a year because I was afraid somebody would tell a daughter who called Barry in the bedroom with a blonde. Blonde angel, get your facts straight. He said, "Amen." And I always let Dottie speak after a fast one Sunday night. At least that was my practice. And so that a year later, exactly 1 year later, almost exactly, she was sharing that testimony standing right down there. And all of a sudden I realized it had been a year and I had no problem with rosacea at all. And people got, "Well, how do you explain that? What kind of theology is that? An angel doing?" Oh, just drop it, for crying out loud. I got healed. Who? Don't create a theology about an angel. And if you think somebody's crazy, I didn't see anything. I know one thing. This is 2023. And there ain't no rosacea. It's gone. I believe God allowed Dottie to see that angel so I'd know what happened to it. It just went away. But now I know it was definitely God. God was involved in that. And it was right after a fast. Well, I don't believe in fasting. Well, forgive me, but I do. And I'm fasting for you, too. Can you say that? And that's fasting and praying for myself, fasting and praying for you and this church and the people here are sick and hurting. We're believing God. And I'm serious enough about this thing to give up some food. How about you? The Jews, even before Jesus Christ, fasted 2 days a week. And the Christians of the early church fasted 2 days a week. In Luke 18:11, and you can do your history study yourself and find this to be true. Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." He was standing by a tax collector. And then Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. And then verse 12, it says, I fast twice a day and give a tenth of all I have. He's a tither. Verse 13, but the tax collector, now Jesus is telling this story, it's a parable. But the tax collector stood at a distance, beat his breast, and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. I'm not reading that to preach on that. I'm reading that to show you, and I'm using this prayer only to show you that the Jews of Jesus' day fasted 2 days a week. A good dedicated Jew fasted 2 days a week. The early church followed the Jews' example and fasted 2 days a week. In other words, they stayed fasted up like I try to do, so that when a problem arose, all they needed to do was fast and meditate on God's word. And that's what I try to do. John Wesley followed their example and required all of his Methodist ministers to fast 2 days a week, and they had great miracles. That movement, they said, have big brush arbors, or whatever they called them back then, have hundreds of people out there, and the power of God come down. People been healed, all kind of miracles, and people falling over in the sawdust in those places because of the power of God. Now, I think the Methodist Church probably needs to go back to doing some fasting. Also the Baptists, and also, you know, Presbyterians and Assemblies of God Church, all of us. Can you say amen? The early church practiced prayer with fasting, and they operated in great miracles. Acts chapter 9, verse 8. I just want you to know what the Bible says. You can't believe it unless you get it from the Bible. I know I've preached some of this before, but I need you to believe it this time. Let's believe it. Acts chapter 9, verse 8. St. Paul, now he's still Saul of Tarsus, got up from the ground. But when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. This is when he was on the Damascus road going to persecute Christians. And the Lord knocked him off his horse. It doesn't say he was on a horse, but it sounds better said that way. The Lord knocked him off his horse, his high horse. If he's on a horse or not, he wound up in the dirt. Looking up, said, who are you? And he was blind. And the first thing he did, he fasted 3 days. That's what God's people did. And look how God blessed Paul. And later you'll see he said, I'm in fastings often. Well, it's because he didn't have food. Well, there was times he didn't have food. But other times he was doing it just as a food fast for the glory of God. And he said so. The first thing St. Paul did after he met Jesus was fast 3 days. This is the way the Jews and early Christians dealt with important events in their lives. If we need a miracle, we might just try prayer with fasting. Chuck Lester, where's Chuck?
Here.
Right there. He had several strokes, about 5 in a row, I believe. And it left some damage. And he had severe anxiety. And during the fast, how many years ago has it been? 2012. Wow, that was a year after I got healed the rosacea, and he was standing right there. So there has to be a holy spot right there. If you can just find that holy spot and stand on it. But anyway, I walked by him. I was laying hands on people, and I prayed for Chuck and went on by. And when I went by, he had a vision of Jesus standing right in front of him. And the Lord healed him. Totally, completely, all the evidence of the stroke has been gone now for all these years. The anxiety has been gone. And you're probably doing a 40-day fast, right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all paying attention? Yeah. Why not give it a try? Yeah. Go by these guidelines. If you don't do fasting correctly, it can cause some problems. But if you're healthy and you do it correctly, and don't try to do fasting the way your head tells you or the way some nuts tells you. Go by those guidelines. Well, if I drink juice, that's breaking my fast. No, it's not. When you go on a food fast, you shut your digestive system down, and a little juice will not start it back up. I've been doing it long enough, I know. The only way I can get it started back up, without getting sick is Campbell's chicken noodle soup. And it slowly starts it back up. One little bit of grape juice will not start it back up. I guess it's day 7 of fasting, and I'm feeling better right now than I have the whole last year. And haven't eaten a bite of food. But if I didn't get a little bit of juice, I couldn't come out here and preach. I got to get my blood sugar up so my brain will work. I mean, thank God there is a way to get my brain to work. And then a little electrolytes. I mean, you can't just drop. You can't live in a. You can't stay in a coma. Now, what good would that do? I want to be able to meditate on the Word of God, read the Word of God, pray, seek His face, spend hours praising God and seeking His face and studying and working and building sermons. And I got to have a little juice. Dr. Rick Mays is one that told me that many, many years ago. He said, if you don't get a little juice, you're going to pass out completely because you have a high metabolism. And you have to have the blood sugar for your brain to work. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. This is the church at Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, just like this, the church fasts like this. Over 2,000 years ago, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. This was a sacred assembly, just like they had in Joel and just like we're having right here. Verse 3. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The Holy Spirit spoke to them when they prayed with fasting. He said, well, look, I have a health problem. I cannot do a full fast. Well, do something. God will honor what you do. Amen. I promise you, He showed me that He will honor what you do. Do what you can. Amen. You love Cokes? Fast Cokes. That's one thing everybody should be fasting anyway. Okay. That's probably the worst drink ever created. But all of us have to have a Coke every now and then. You can't eat pizza without a Coke. You got to have something to dissolve all that grease. They fasted and prayed again before they sent them out. Saul and Barnabas had great success because they heard from God through prayer and fasting. We receive from God through prayer with fasting. In a service like this lady here, that she'd had Crohn's disease for years. And we laid hands on her, and God totally instantly healed her during the fast. Never had it come back. It's never come back. Can you say amen yet? We receive from God through praying and fasting. That's how I received Matthew 8, 16, and 17. I was doing a 3-day fast. The Lord gave me that scripture that changed my world. I've been healed probably, I know, hundreds of times. And my kids have been healed. About everybody in the church has been healed of something. God gave me that revelation through praying and fasting. If I hadn't been praying and fasting, I wouldn't have gotten it. Because I sure didn't believe it. When He spoke to me, I was shocked. I thought I was right, but I was wrong. It is God's will to heal His people so they can do the work God called them to do. Acts 14, 23, and when they had appointed and ordained elders for them in each church, you see, I think that's one of the reasons many churches have pastor problems, because they don't fast and pray before they select a pastor. An elder here is just a pastor. In the New Testament church, when it says elder, they're always just talking about the pastor. Acts 14, 23, and when they had appointed and ordained elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting, in the Greek actually says prayer with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. The Greek says prayer with fasting. They ordained ministers and others in leadership through prayer with fasting. And, you know, we normally elect our church board right after we do this great fast. And we need to fast and pray that God will give us the right leadership. Can you say amen? Always and forever. They ordained elders in prayer with fasting, and this became their lifestyle in everything they did. But 2 Corinthians 11, 27, and weariness, and this is Paul, and he's talking about the things he had suffered. And weariness and painfulness and watchings often as intercessory prayer, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. The first word for hunger in hunger and thirst is limos. Hunger due to a lack of food. There was time, he was hungry because he just couldn't get food. But the second word here, fasting, often is nestia. Most preachers don't even do any research at all on that. And they say, well, he meant he's fasting because he couldn't get food. No, nestia does not mean that. Limos does, but nestia does not. It means fasting for spiritual reasons. He said, I'm fasting for spiritual reasons often. He says, times when I haven't been able to get food, but other times I'm fasting for spiritual reasons often. And remember, when he first met Jesus Christ, he fasted 3 days. All of the references about fasting I have given from the New Testament uses the Greek word nestia in some form. Fasting for spiritual reasons. The scripture nestia always means going without food for spiritual reasons. Paul says, I have fasted because I have no food, and I fasted often for spiritual reasons. Many in the body of Christ continue to pray with fasting to this day. We're not the only church across America that's fasting and praying. There's many. I know Bob Rogers' church is, Mike Burnett's church is, other churches are fasting and praying, and those churches are blessed. So it's because of what the Bible teaches. The Didache are the teachings of the 12 apostles. This is a document found in the 1800s, and it shows up in early church writing, so it's for real. And it instructs the people to fast. It's also called the teachings of the 12 apostles, and it claims to be the teachings that Jesus gave the apostles so they could train new disciples, train new Christians. It was used, among other things, to instruct people in prayer and fasting. Its internal evidence seems to date it between 60 A.D. and 90 A.D. Therefore, most scholars date it before 100 A.D. It could have been the teachings of the disciples that Jesus Christ had instructed them to teach. It was in that period of time. The Didache says this: your fast should not coincide with those of the hypocrites, the Jews. They fast on Mondays and Tuesdays. You should fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. They call the Jews hypocrites. Today we talk about how Christians have abused Jews. Back then, Jews were killing Christians. And they considered to be hypocrites because they wouldn't receive the Messiah. But he does say fast Wednesdays and Fridays. That's 2 days a week. I fast about 100 days a year. That's about what, 100, maybe 100, 110. That's about what this adds up to. 2 days a week, 52 weeks. Eusebius, born in 260 A.D., he was the first church historian, and he indicates that the Didache may have been considered to be part of the canon of Scripture. In other words, they considered putting it in our Bible. If that was in our Bible, you'd be commanded to fast every Wednesday and Friday. But the Lord doesn't want us to be under a command on this. He wants us to do it because we love Him and we want to spend time in His presence, and we want His power and presence and miracle power in our lives. He wants us to be volunteer. And Clement of Alexandria, you can go back and do some of this study yourself. Clement of Alexandria quotes part of it as Scripture. The early church really believed this document and practiced it. The Didache was a very important document of the early church. John Wesley, as I just said, you know, he had his Methodist ministers to fast 2 days a week simply because he studied the apostolic fathers. He lived before the Didache was even, a copy of the Didache was even discovered, but he read the writings of the apostolic fathers, which you can do. It's about 30 volumes, each one about that thick. And I've got them all on my computer. Okay. But he was reading those, and he discovered that the early church fasted 2 days a week, and he required all the Methodist preachers to fast 2 days a week. I believe that's why they had such great success. Dr. Don Colbert, Intoxicant Relief. This is a book you can get and read if you're serious about fasting. Dr. Don Colbert, Intoxicant Relief, says, fasting is a wonderful and natural way to cleanse your body from the burden of excess toxic nutrients. Guys, they are advertising something all the time. Well, this will help you with the toxins in your body. It's an antioxidant. He says, and other doctors that understand fasting say that fasting is the best antioxidant. Like I just told you, the reason I'm feeling really good right now is because I've drank some prune juice and I've flushed out all those toxins out of my body, at least a big part of them. Can you say amen? And you get that stuff out of you and you start feeling like $1 million. The big question is, do I look like $1 million? Don't lie. He says, I believe that the best fasting method is method for cleansing and detoxification is juice fasting. So not only are you fasting for spiritual reasons, it's good for you. My skin is even looking better, right, I think. Yeah, it does. Dr. Colbert also says, fasting is the dynamite that makes all the other efforts easier and more effective. I know you don't take my word for it, but will you take a doctor's word for it? Okay. And this is a very famous man. I've heard him on John Hagee in different places. They're interviewing him, and so he knows what this guy knows what he's talking about. Fasting helps bring victory spiritually and physically. The subtitle of Dr. Colbert's book is Toxic Relief is, subtitle is Restore Health and Energy Through Fasting and Detoxification. You see, divine power flows more easily and quickly, he says, when you fast. And according to Isaiah 58:8, it says your healing will quickly appear. So, we don't need to make light of fasting. And a lot of ministers, they call me the fasting pastor. They think it's funny. And they're sick, high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, everything you can think of. But I'm the fasting pastor. The smart ones may want to try it. Fasting and praying. That's all I'm saying.